on the air with us live is Kristen Scott Benson. Kristen, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Awesome.
You're coming through loud and clear, Kristen.
That's great.
So you were in Europe last week, is that correct? Where were you folks?
That's right. We played in France, and everyone asks how it was. The Grascals, we play our Europe trips just like we play in a weekend at home usually. So we left on a Wednesday, and we got home on a Sunday. So it was quick, and it was actually cold. I tell people, even if we're on other continents, it seems like we're playing out in the middle of nowhere. And this was a huge country music festival that was way up in the mountains, and we froze. We wore sweatshirts and coats and stuff on stage. But it was beautiful, and it's always nice to go.
So if you're back in Nashville now, you're sweating.
Oh, my gosh. We landed in Dallas was our first, which is awful because you have to fly right over to Tennessee, you know, to get to Texas and then turn right back around. But we walked off the plane in Dallas, and just the humidity and the heat just knocks you down.
Well, the nice thing about DFW is they got the little tram system there, and I kind of like
that
airport. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big, but it's easy to navigate.
It is easy to navigate, and for a large airport, they get around pretty good. The little trams work pretty good.
You mean you don't have to run from one door to the other?
Oh, I've ran.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I have ran. So, hey, Martha, which is one of your promotional gals, told me a little secret.
Okay.
That you had a great time driving that Dodge van in the Grascals video.
Yeah, that's it. We just did a video on Last Train to Clarksville, and I've never driven a vehicle without power steering, okay? So that was new to me, and the star of the video is really the little van that we ride around in. It's a 1966 Dodge van, I believe, and has all the psychedelic hippie colors and stuff, so it was fun. But anyway, they had me drive it, and the steering wheel was huge, which is good. I guess that made it a little easier, but no power steering, and, of course, no air as well.
You did get a peel out.
Oh, what's that?
You did get a peel out, spin the tires.
Oh, you know what? They told me to do that, and I did it. I'm such a girl. I mean, I had never done that before, but we were in a gravel parking lot, and they called it something, though, like a brake torque or something like that, and I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, just spin the tires. So
power
I did
brake.
That, and it was really fun. Yeah, maybe that's a, it was fun. It was a good day. It was plenty hot, but we enjoyed making the video.
Yeah, and it shows through on the video. We do have the video posted on our website, on both of our websites and our Facebook page as well. And I imagine that there are websites and Facebook pages all over the world with that video posted right now.
We hope so.
Well, you know, for a young lady, I've wondered this ever since I've heard of you. Why would a young lady like yourself pick up and play a banjo?
Yeah, that's it's definitely an odd thing to do. But like most people, I have a rich family history in bluegrass.
Okay.
My grandfather, which is my mom's dad, he was a professional mandolin player. He supported his family playing music, and I had that influence coming from her side. I mean, my dad never played for a living, just played for fun, but he liked it too, and that was a common bond for them. So I grew up in a house where it was always around, and I got the band. I started playing mandolin when I was very young.
I was wondering about that too.
Yeah, I started on mandolin, and because we had one and it was little, you know, so that was my first instrument. But when I got interested in banjo, I saw the band Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver in the mid-'80s when Scott Vestal was playing with that band, and he killed me. That whole band killed me, and that was the first time I really got excited about bluegrass and the banjo in particular. So it led to me getting a banjo when I was 13.
So, but now how many other instruments do you play?
You know, I really just play banjo. Sometimes
do you? No kidding.
I do some stuff on guitar with the band. I've done a few slow tunes. They'll have me play guitar, and I do play mandolin still just for fun, but mainly it's just banjo.
Well, now, do you yourself sing?
I do. I never sing lead. I have like a rule that I made for myself. At least two other people have to be singing at the same time.
I understand.
So actually, I don't sing with the Grascals. they have the trio pretty much covered, and Danny, Jeremy, and I, we all sing a little, but they pretty much take care of it, so we don't do much singing. But in other bands, I've sung a lot of harmony. So I do, and I sung harmony on one of the songs on my record. So I sing a little, but I'm happier if I don't have to.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I always figured the reason you didn't sing on the Grascals was because they were afraid it would make them sound better.
I tell you what, I am a happy camper when all I have to do is play the banjo.
I understand.
It's really what I'm interested in. And those guys, Terry and Jamie, they do such a great job with the trio. And it's nice just to play the banjo and listen to them sing.
Well, I tell you what, Kristen, it is great to hear you play the banjo. And to hear the Grascals, it is, I tell you, they are one of the better ones right now. They are a fantastic band, and you guys all sound absolutely great together. But I always wondered why you would want to play a banjo. But now I know, and it's good to know that.
That's right.
Did you take banjo lessons from anybody?
I sure did. I took lessons for 2 or 3 years. There are a couple guys in South Carolina where I'm from. One is named Alan Brooker. And he got me started for about the first year, and he really taught me how to play. And then I started taking lessons from the guy that taught him, and his name is Al Osteen, and he's kind of the father of banjo playing in this area. Any banjo player in this region that plays, it seems like they have all taken lessons from Al, and he's a fantastic player and teacher, and I stayed with him for a couple of years probably. And the lessons helped a lot. A lot of times people say, well, what advice do you have? I'm going to start. And my advice is if you can come up with a good banjo teacher, that's so good because it just speeds you along. The progress moves much faster if you have somebody helping.
That is right. That's the first thing I tell people. They'll come to me and say, hey, I won't play the banjo. What do I do? Go get lessons from somebody that knows what they're doing.
Now, Ike is a banjo teacher, not just a builder.
Okay. That's great.
We'll have to put one of his banjos in your hands one of these days.
That'd be great.
He's got some pretty ones.
I bet.
Okay, another thing, you know, this thing, see, what was it about President Bush? You guys got to play. You know, you hear some bad things about President Bush, but, you know, if he's a bluegrass lover, you know, he can't be all bad, can he?
That's right, and we were in luck because it was his going away party, so if you loved him, we were playing for President Bush, and if you hated his president, we were playing the going away party. We were sold either way, you know.
It's win-win.
Yeah, it was cool. We played at the Commerce Department, the Commerce Building, I'm sorry, the Commerce Building. It was the farewell party for the advanced staff, and their job is to get all the trips he takes. They went ahead of him and would make sure all the logistics were taken care of. So it was people that that he really appreciated. A lot of these people were volunteers. So the coolest part about it was that he made a speech, and it was a personal speech, a personal thank you. And we never really get to see a president be as personal as he was that night. So that was really cool. And we got to tour the Oval Office. Well, we didn't get to go in, but we got to look in the Oval Office and tour the West Wing because he wasn't there the first part of the day. Apparently, if the president's there, you can't do that. But he flew in, and we saw him come in on Marine One on the South Lawn. So it was a really, really cool day. And I joined. I've been in the band, well, I guess a little over a year and a half. And I had only been in the band about a month when we made that trip. So I felt really lucky. I timed it just right.
Yeah. Yes. Now, tell me a little bit. Tell me how you got started with the Grascals. Was this an invitation thing? Did you play with them at a jam session at the Station Inn? Tell me how you got started with them.
Yeah, I heard that the job was going to be open, and Sonny Osborne also knew the job was coming open. And for your listeners that don't know, Terry Smith and Terry Eldridge, our bass and guitar players, spent 25 years combined in the Osborne Brothers band. So they're a huge influence on the Grascal sound. It's pretty much everybody's favorite band, and so they have that good relationship with Sonny, and then I have a great relationship with Sonny also, and I made a call and just said, hey, I'm interested if you need somebody, and Sonny but really did, though. He made a call for me and just put in a good word for me with the two Terrys. And I think that's what really sold the deal for us. And I was so thankful. It's been a great experience.
Well, I tell you what, Kristen, if nothing else, you sure make the band look better.
And smell better. I can attest to that. Smell much better.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I was looking over some of the things that are your favorites and things like that, and that your promoter had provided us. And mm-hmm. I see a name on here that's interesting to me. Hugh Laurie. Are you a House fan?
I'm a House fan. I am. And we have, Wayne and I, my husband, we have a 3-year-old little boy, and we don't watch TV anymore. We're so busy with him, but we do find ourselves occasionally getting into a TV show and just buying the DVDs. And when we latch on to one, we tend to really like it. And it was West Wing before this. I'm a West Wing freak. I know those episodes real well. And now it's House. We've got all the House DVDs and have actually started trying to watch it even when it comes on, which is the only show we do that with, but we love Hugh Laurie and the House show.
Well, now, also, too, Kristen, I see you've on your CD, you have 4 songs on there that they're singing on?
Yeah, there are 4 vocal songs. I'm not personally singing on all those. I just sang harmony on one, but we had Josh Williams.
That's what I thought. Yes.
Yeah, and Larry Stevenson,
yes.
And Larry Cordell, and Nikki Harris and Sally Jones sang.
Okay. Well, I just heard, listened to part of that just a little bit ago, and I recognized Josh and Larry, but mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with the other two people.
Well, you hear Mickey Harris
I hear
the
him
time.
A lot.
You just hear him with Rhonda.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Sally Jones is singing the other half of the duet. So Mickey and Sally have a song. And then Larry Cordell, I played in his band for, I think, about 3 years. And he sang the last song. And he's just such a great guy. We love him. And I love his music. Fantastic. He wrote Highway 40 Blues.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, he's a great songwriter as well.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if what was your first band, professional band that you started with?
Well, it kind of depends on how you define professional. The first band that I joined where I regularly got paid, if you count like $8, I joined a gospel band in high school, and it was for a guy named Furman Boyce and the Harmony Express. And of course, I'm making a joke. If anyone happens to hear this from Indiana that's been in Harmony Express or whatever. But I did that in high school, and then I joined my senior year while I was still in school. I joined the band Petticoat Junction, which was an all-girl bluegrass band. My senior year of high school, that's what I did. But the band that really got me going, where I started playing all the time and traveling a lot, and when I really got started, was when I joined Larry Stevenson's band, which was September 1st of 95, so quite some time ago. But that's really when I got busy.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about wages. You know, I always figured that any time you played and got paid $1,
it's a good day.
You were a professional.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's good to have those standards as a bluegrass musician.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Certainly is. But no, it was. I got to tell you this too. Now you don't look like you're that old enough to play with all that many years, Kristen. It doesn't look like it.
Well, that's cool. I appreciate that. I'm going to ride that as long as I can. Sometimes people come up, and they'll say, "Oh, how old are you?" And I tell them, and they're so disappointed. But I just have 34.
Oh, no kidding! Now, Kristen, I wasn't going to ask you that question. You didn't have to tell me, but
I would have guessed 28.
Hey, well, I'll take it. A lot of times they guess younger than that, and they come up and they just say they're gushing. Oh, my gosh, you're great. How old are you? And I think they're going to, that I'll say 20 or something. I say 34, and then they're like, oh, well, maybe they act like you should be better if you're 34.
Well, now, I got to say one thing now. I got to ask you this question. Are you still learning to play the banjo?
Oh yeah, it's a long process. Yeah, I kind of have a constant punch list of things that I want to learn. And you know, my husband, some of you guys may know, my husband Wayne Benson. He plays for mandolin for the band Third Time Out, and
that's where it is. Yes.
Yeah, he's really a huge example for me because he learns at a pace that most 15-year-olds are learning at, and as accomplished as he is, he's just every other day it seems like he's come to a new milestone musically. So that, you know, that I should work as hard as he does, because I really see the progress he makes, and it is a lifelong process.
Yes, but I tell you what, and you probably know this also, that if you're in a band like the Grascals, you got to keep learning no matter what. You got to keep learning to stay up with, you know, the days, you know what I mean. You got to keep learning to keep the interest going.
Yeah, and you know, in a band that's as busy as we are, you know, I'm guilty a lot of times when I'm home. I'm just with our boy, and that's what I like to do. And but just playing in a band that's so busy, the instrument's in your hands all the time, because if you're not playing shows that day, maybe you're recording, or you know, you're getting ready for an album, or whatever you're doing. It just seems like the banjo is almost always in my hands. And then I'm guilty, though, of coming home and just not really doing it very much. But I think that is typical, though, especially after you have kids. That's my other bit of advice. Get a banjo teacher and get good before you have kids, because you don't have time for it after that.
You can't just pick it up and fiddle around.
No, my boy goes nuts when I try to play. Stop!
So tell me, what's up and coming for the Grascals?
Well, we just have a brand new record that came out on Rounder Records called Famous Lefty Flans. So we're very busy promoting that. The video that we mentioned, Last Train to Clarksville, that is extremely important to us these days, and we're busy doing a lot of promotion for that record. We are also, though, in the process of recording a new record for Cracker Barrel. It's an album that will only be sold in the Cracker Barrel stores, and it's going to feature a lot of country artists, and we have some really well-known songs and well-known artists that are going to record with us on that. So we're busy doing that as well. And then, of course, we're always interested in telling people about our sponsor, Mobile Delvac. They are a tour sponsor this year. They provide that nice long bus that we get to ride on and enjoy. And they make oil for diesel engines. And so a lot of your listeners, it seems to go hand in hand with bluegrass. A lot of people have diesel engines. So we always like to mention them as well.
Yeah, Mobile Delvac is we couldn't hear that very well, but that's what it was, right?
Yeah, I had to change rooms because my son just brought a weapon to attack me with, so I had to move to a different room.
Was that a super soaker?
Yes, I will mention that one more time. Mobile Delvac, they make oil for diesel engines, and they sponsor the Grascals. So go Mobile Delvac.
There you go. But we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before we go?
Yes, actually. There are a couple of shows coming up in Indiana. On September 11th, we're playing Milan, Indiana. That's an outdoor show that supports the fire department in Milan, Indiana. We'll be there on September 11th. And then September 25th, we're playing the Bean Blossom Festival, the Bill Monroe Memorial Festival that goes on a couple times a year.
I got to
so
tell you,
September 25th.
Ike and I will both be there, and we look forward to seeing you there.
That'd be fantastic. Please say hello.
We will. I promise.
We guarantee that you won't get away without seeing us.
Okay, that's great.
Although you may wish you hadn't seen Ike.
Well, I tell you what, Kristen, if our time is about up, I have enjoyed visiting with you very much so.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing you.
Okay, sounds good.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.